This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. To all the haters that told me I didn't leave early enough, I made it, all right? I'm here. Nice, easy ride in this morning. It's so pleasant that the whole world's going back to work. B-Mitch taking care of some family stuff. Sitting in with me is my man, Toby Altizer. Good morning, Tobo. How do you do?
What's going on, man? Excited for Caps and Canes tonight. We got a doubleheader for the Nats. It's going to be a busy day.
Shout out to Toby, decked out in Caps garb. I assume Toby's on the stream, right? Toby's got his Rock the Red OV8 jersey. It's a dope jersey. And yet, my man Toby's still going to go to two baseball games over Caps Canes game one. You want a seam head, folks. This is your guy.
Hey, if there was tickets available for game one tonight, I would gladly be there.
So here's what I can tell you about my guy, Toby. We sit down. I'm trying a little TCOB, talking to my wife about the dentist. Shout out to Dr. Kwan. Although tomorrow, apparently, I'm going to see Dr. Carpenter. So everybody, you know, knock on wood, say a little prayer. But my man, Toby, I'm like, damn, the Oklahoma City Thunder know how to give away a ball game. And Toby's like, yeah, but have you heard about this shortstop for the Oakland Athletics? I'm like, what the hell? There was playoff puck and hoops last night, and Tobo wants to talk about a shortstop. What are the A's currently called?
The A's. That's it.
There's no city?
There's no city name to it. Nothing. It's the Athletics. Like, if you look up their page on ESPN or whatever,
MLB.com.
Just says Athletics.
Where are they playing right now? Sacramento?
Sacramento. I'm actually going to a game out there later this year.
Sacramento, where you at? You're going to a game in Sacramento?
I am. There's two teams playing at minor league parks this year, and I want to go to both.
The Rays
are as well. So I'd love to be able to get out there. I don't know that that's going to happen. But yeah, the Athletics are actually kind of frisky this year.
Hold on, dude. It's easier for you to get to Sacramento than it is to Tampa?
I'm going to go on vacation, hang out with my mom when she comes back. So
out in Cali.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
We're going to see the Nats against the Giants on a Friday night out in San Fran, and then we're going to go up to Sacramento.
It's great, Toby. Enjoy your vacation, dog.
I will.
We took the girls to San Diego for spring break, and the one thing I was really bummed about is the Padres were on the road.
It's a nice ballpark, too.
Petco's dope. I've been there. So I am not the seamhead you are. I do love going to ballparks. I've been to a bunch, but going to see the Athletics in Sacramento is not really on my list. I just looked it up. They are legitimately just the Athletics. Good luck to them. I think when they get to Vegas and they start spending some money, they got some good young players, that'll be an interesting watch. Last night, though, unlike Toby, I watched all of Knicks Celtics, which was a really good game, and I liked the Knicks last night. I guess we didn't put bets in because the draft announcement came down right at the end of our show. I liked the Knicks last night, especially. It was +9. I was all over that. I saw my guy. We have a devoted listener that I see at the Giant near my house. I saw him yesterday, and he asked me what I like in the games, and I was like, I like both dogs. I think both favorites win the series. I had no chance thought the Knicks would win. I just thought they would cover. Jason Tatum is a vexing player to watch play basketball. He is he's clearly one of the best and most gifted basketball players on the planet. So, like, before anybody accused me of being a hater or something, like, let's start there. I'm saying this dude is one of the best in the world at what he does. He's probably a top five player on the planet, right? But he, late in that game, all he wanted to do was chuck threes. I tweeted about it. You replied to me last night. Like, for the game winner, He had the defender on his heels. Then he comes back. Just go to the rim.
Yeah, it drives me insane. He does it a lot. And sometimes he hits those, but it feels like for Tatum, part of the reason he gets a lot of this hate is feels like he comes up in those spots a lot of times, comes up short versus coming through. And it's something that you see a lot of NBA players do now.
Totally.
I can't stand it, where you get late in the shot clock, late in the game clock, and what do they decide to do? Instead of trying to get to the bucket, maybe draw foul, maybe get to the rim, whatever it is, they just end up shooting a step back three as if that's the best shot they can come up with. And some guys are really good at it, like Luka's had plenty in his career that he's hit. You think back to Damian Lillard had a series winner over Paul George doing something like that. So it happens where the guys nail it. But, man, get to the rim sometimes. It doesn't make any sense to me how often people settle for step back threes in big-time spots.
Tatum is I think it started with MJ when he was able to hit those fadeaways. But those were, like, generally foul line extended.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kobe popularized, like, the straight three-point fadeaways to win games. And then what Steph did just changed basketball to the nth degree, and now everybody does it. Tatum, though, is 6'8 with a 6'11 wingspan and an incredible ball handler. That's what's lost in this, is like he can get to the rim on probably anybody. I don't know why he wouldn't go to the rim there at the end of that game. He missed a bunch of threes late. He seemed out of sorts a little late to me. Jalen Brunson, though, had a chance to win that thing in regulation, and it just rimmed out. Awesome pass.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome pass. I wasn't sure about my man Cat, and I even texted my boy Tim Schlittner, who's a big, huge Knicks fan, when they made that trade. Just like, I don't know, dude. That dude's not a playoff player. I thought he was good last night. The Celtics are going to win this series. I think the Celtics still win the East, but they don't seem as locked in as they did last year. I can promise you one thing, though, Toby. I'm trying to pull it up. White Brian might be able to find it faster. What's the line for game two?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
All right, I just looked it up. 10.5? Going to be a hammer on Boston laying the 10.5. In that.
Oh, you think they're going to blow them out in game two?
Bro, they missed 45 threes last night.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane.
I don't think they're going to miss 45. Say they miss 30. That's 15. That's 45 points more.
I was listening to the guys after the game. Charles Barkley brought this up. I thought it was a good point. In the third quarter, JP, they took 20 shots. Boston did. 19 of them were threes. 19.
There is an over-reliance, for sure.
But that's what Charles Barkley was saying, is like when things aren't going a team's way anymore, and maybe it's different if it's a game one, so maybe you just say, screw it, we're going to go with our philosophy and see what happens. But there's no plan B for these teams. There's no, like, for the Celtics, if they're not knocking down their threes, then they're just screwed. They just accept defeat.
The analytics nerds have changed basketball to the degree that most of these teams just chuck threes. Like, I mean, the amount of three-point shooting, you see in college too, is just through the roof. But whatever. You all do what you want. Expect a hammer on the Celtics from me on 5-7. Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yeah.
On 5-7. The other game, Thunder Nuggets. I will confess, I went to sleep. It was halftime. The hockey was over. I watched the full swing with the games on the upstairs, on the above TVs. Gosh, Camilo Villegas. I was unaware of that story. That's just, that was gut-wrenching. That hit me right in the soul, man. Shout out to the Villegas family. But I went to bed. And so then this morning, I wanted to watch. And, you know, I do a lot of dadding in my life,
mm-hmm,
Toby.
Sure.
And this morning,
I do not.
Yeah, well. You should meet a girl first. There's levels to this, Toby. I do notice, speaking of girls, White Brian wearing pink again. Must be nice to be a young married couple. No kids in the house. Apparently no dogs, even though they claim they are dog parents. White Brian's got his dog mom cup, even though no dog lives in his house. What a weird guy. But the pink pants, we all know what that means. I had to do some serious dadding this morning. I had to be up early because I was on the NBC4 morning show this morning, which I always enjoy. So I'm up early, and my 9-year-old considers herself, especially when my wife is not there. My wife had to leave early this morning for work, so it's just me and the girls. My 9-year-old considers herself like the boss. Like,
sure.
She gets up, she makes sure everybody's up, she gets breakfast going, all these things. So at like 7, I went to like make sure they were up. School starts at 8. We got to get this process moving. And she was legit pissed that I was up and like up and at them before her. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, what are you doing? She's like, I get everybody up. I'm like, well, I had to get up early for work today. She's like, you could have told me. I'm like, tell you what? Like, you want to know my schedule? Now I got to share my schedule with you and your mom? The 6-year-old is always, it's a little slower moving in the morning.
Sure.
She's more like me. Like, she would stay in bed. She doesn't love getting up. So I had two kind of grumpy kids, different ends of the grumpy spectrum, why they were grumpy, but two kind of grumpy kids. And shout out to YouTube. I was like, hey, I don't know how the Nuggets Thunder game finished. Do you guys want to watch it? And they both said yes. I'm not entirely convinced either of them knew who the Nuggets or the Thunder were. The 6-year-old was convinced. She went to a Caps game where they played the Thunder.
Okay.
And I was like, maybe. But that's the hockey. I mean, knowing full well that didn't exist, but whatever. I just kind of let it go. And we watched it on YouTube. They were stunned by how long it takes to play, like 13 seconds.
Yes. As was I, by the way.
But whatever. That highlight package got us all in the right vibe. We then put some music on, ate some yogurt parfaits. Everybody was good. The Thunder gave that thing away.
Absolutely.
And with the conversation with OKC last year was, man, they're young. They haven't been through the battles. And generally in the NBA, like, the teams that emerge as champions have to like earn it in the playoffs. Because unfortunately, the reality is none of them play hard in the regular season. So when they get to the playoffs and everything is 100% go all the time, it takes a lot of getting used to. And for a young team going up against a team that has done it, that is held to Larry O'Brien in Denver and has the best player in the world in Jokic, like, there's a lot to overcome in the last minute of a game. But, I mean, to be up 6 with 20 seconds.
Well, and I thought OKC tried a little too much there at the end where they're up 3 with 13 seconds to go, and I understand the philosophy of fouling up 3. Don't ever let them get a shot off. But as soon as the ball was inbounded to Jokic there, they fouled him with barely, you know, any time going off the clock there. And I can understand when Jokic has the ball, whatever, that you don't want him to get a chance at a 3, so that's fine. He knocks down both free throws. In turn, the Nuggets foul. They knock down both. I think it was Shea that knocked down both of those free throws. But on the next possession,
Holmgren.
Well, Jokic was still on the sideline, right, JP, for the next one. And so, because they got the ball inbounded so quickly, or what, I forget what exactly the scenario, but they hit Shea on a layup, I think, and then the ball's still on the end line, and Jokic is out of bounds. They inbound the ball and foul in the backcourt. So then
0 seconds went off.
Yeah, Denver comes down, knocks down both free throws. They foul Chet, and Chet misses both, and then they come down and hit the 3. But to me, with OKC there, is it not better to just see if they can come up with a good offensive possession with 13 seconds left and try to play one good defensive possession? And even if they score, chances are there's 5 seconds left on the clock with you with a chance to go win it, right? Like, I think I would rather that than, yeah, if Chet makes both free throws, it's probably a different game and maybe OKC goes ahead and wins. But you put yourself in the position that you've got to go down there and knock down free throws for a couple of times versus just hitting them once. So I thought they overdid it a bit. I think that's, again, they're very analytically driven, and the analytics say that. I think they'll probably win game 2 because I think overall when you look at the numbers, it's kind of an anomaly that Denver came back and won that one. It was all on Joker's back, but it was a crazy ending to see them come all the way back and beat a really talented Thunder team.
Agreed. I think the 3 Joker made to cut it to 1 when he just pulled up from the top of the key with the defender's hand like entirely in his face. So the one thing my daughters said watching the highlights, they're like, who's that big guy? And I was like, that's the Joker. He's the best player in the world. He's incredibly remarkable. And I don't know. I think B and I have made it pretty clear how we feel about Luka and the praise Luka gets. And nobody wants to talk about like what he doesn't do well. And obviously, Luka's a great player, but it took Joker a number of years to break through that label of subpar defender, out of shape. You know what I mean? Like, that was, Joker kept winning these MVPs, and then they'd flame out in the playoffs, and people were like, I don't know about this dude. Maybe Luka could get there. I'm not sure that will happen. It seems like lifestyle choices are part of this, but In the West, dude, I would be. You've got Thunder, Nuggets, T-Wolves, Warriors. I would be shocked if none of them get to the finals. If any of those four teams win the West, I won't be shocked.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm not even sure I'd be surprised if any. Like, I don't know what the betting lines are, but I imagine it's pretty wide open, especially with Denver stealing game one. In the East, even with the Celtics losing last night and even with the Pacers up 1-0 already, I still think the Celtics get there.
Well, and Cleveland, I'm a little bit worried because now they're going to be without Evan Mobley more than likely for game two because of an ankle injury, and it sounds like DeAndre Hunter is going to miss some time as well. I saw that Kenny Atkinson was complaining about that. To your point, I think Boston probably comes back and beats the Knicks in that series, but regardless of who makes it out of the East, you got to like whoever comes out of the West more, right? Like, you feel like they're going to be favored. Maybe, you know, anything can happen in a seven-game series, but like the T-Wolves look so good against the Lakers, and it's the Lakers, I understand that, and they didn't have any bigs, but they can play versatile, and Anthony Edwards is trying to stake his claim as one of the best players in the world. You got Golden State there, and we already know their pedigree, and like we just talked about with the Thunder and Nuggets, the Thunder are probably the most talented team, but do they have the playoff, or do they have that ability to flip the switch? And the Nuggets are battle-tested with probably the best player in the world, so right. The West is just so different than the East.
Totally, and I think obviously, our focus in this city today is Caps Canes game one tonight, and I cannot wait. I think that arena is going to be incredible. And I watched kind of like the middle of the second period on of Panthers Leafs last night, and Toronto got out to this big lead, and then Florida got just red hot in the third period, and they got that thing really close. And I think. I remember going to Caps games before they Caps playoff games before they broke through and won the cup in a lot of years. And I remember this feeling of dread that like just continued to happen. And I felt like I don't know all of Toronto's playoff history. I know they haven't won a cup up there in like 50 years or something. I know they hadn't really advanced much in the playoffs in a long time. And you could see in the crowd shots and just the Canadian folks I know, the people that are Maple Leafs fans I know, like what that means to them up there is crazy. And I think just the pressure on these guys. So they're up 3-1, they're up 4-1. And then Florida just starts pouring them in. And that thing gets to, I think it got to, I think it got to 4-3, and it was just like you could feel the intensity and you could feel the people in the crowd, just like you feel that like collective butt tight of 25,000 people. And then they got this late goal. This dude Knies, K-N-I-E-S, however you want to say that. And it was an awesome goal. He scored with a backhand on a little bit of a breakaway. And the whole crowd just, like, exhaled. And then the Panthers got one more. The Panthers are going to be really tough to put down for Toronto. But getting that first win, especially when you have that big of a lead, if they had blown that, if they had a 4-1 lead and lost, I think they might just get swept.
Yeah, that's
devastating. Because, like, the mental demons just take over.
Yeah, and I was trying to think of what, like, would an example be for Americans versus, like, Canadians, hockey's their sports.
Right.
And yet they can't win a Stanley Cup. What would the equivalent be? Like, we don't play football internationally in terms of, like, there's a team located internationally.
I honestly think it's when, and this has happened, and it's why we had to, like, reinvest in it, but when USA basketball doesn't win the gold medal.
Yeah.
And maybe that, I think that's a fair parallel.
I think it is, because there's an understanding and, like, an expectation that if you don't come back with gold, and also if you don't win every game by 30, it's a disappointment. So maybe it is that, and luckily they've won the gold medal recently, but... Yeah, I think there is something to that, because every time a game is close, to your point, in the Olympics, you get that same feeling that I think a lot of Canadian fans, whether it's for Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, choose your team, Montreal, whenever their team is right there but they're not getting across, I think they get that same feeling.
Last year, I was very much rooting for Edmonton because the Caps were eliminated. This year, I don't give a bleep about any feel-good story north of the border or anywhere else in this country.
Exactly right.
It's all about the boys tonight. Caps Canes tonight is going to be incredible. I think that arena will be awesome. I cannot wait. Everybody is convinced, like, nationally, the story is that the Canes are going to win this thing. The Caps are underdogs. I think they got something for you tonight. I like Washington a lot tonight. We got a ton coming up on Caps Canes. John Walton's going to join us at noon. Barstool Nate at 11. We're going around the NFC East. My boy Nui Scruggs from Dallas covers the Cowboys, is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Busy, busy, busy day. We're just getting warmed up. Toby's sitting in for B. Mitch. Before we go, got to tell you about our friend John Leahy. John is so confident he can get your home sold, whatever it is you're looking to do. Buy a house, sell a house. These are crazy times all over the world and especially in the DMV. A lot of changing parts. People got to go to work. People don't have it work anymore. Whatever your situation, call John. Think about it like this. Sergio and Margaret were looking for a new home in the Annapolis area, which they specifically wanted to target. They wanted one exact neighborhood. After John Leahy and the Fine Living Group showed them a property that they loved, the listing agent told him, yo, we've already got two offers. And John and his team began to talk strategy. Three more offers went in on this house. But the Fine Living Group told him not to worry. After working on a few tweaks in regard to Margaret and Sergio's offer, the next day they said their bid was the winner. Their bid was the most impressive over the five other offers. Perhaps even more impressive than that, it was under contract in just 5 days. That's the kind of stuff that John Leahy and the Fine Living Group can set you up with. And if you need mortgage pre-approval, let John know or just check it out at johnsellsdmv.com. Those are the things that make a huge difference. You're pre-approved. You're ready to rock. Your realtor knows how to write the offer. That's why I would trust John to sell my house. Call John today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com, or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for B. Mitch today. So big news yesterday that the NFL draft, which we kind of had known was coming, but big news yesterday that the NFL draft was officially announced coming to D.C. in 2027, going to be held on the National Mall.
You know, one thing I thought about with that I don't know yesterday in kind of the madness of waiting for the announcement.
Which just screwed your entire last hour of the show.
Our whole last hour was a mess, but whatever. That's part of the fun of live things, live radio and such. One thing that I really like about the draft is the barrier to entry, I believe, is zero.
Correct.
Like in Green Bay, it was free, right?
Yeah. I was considering going, and I'd already signed up for a ticket. Now, you know, they had to like limit how many people were going to go. So you get like notifications like, hey, we've blocked entrance. But yeah, I mean, literally download an app, throw in your info, and you got a ticket.
You know what, Jeff? I don't know if it's today, but Stevie went to the draft in Green Bay. Stevie's a friend of the program, works here, runs another station. I'd like to get Stevie on to talk about her draft experience, and just because I've had a lot of my friends that are my age are just kind of haters, right? Sure. They're like, oh man, the traffic or whatever Rooster was probably yelling about yesterday. They're like, to me, this one, there's zero hating on this coming to DC because it's a week, it's 3 days. It's going to make a ton of money for the city. Every hotel is going to be full. Every Uber is going to be full. And for a lot of people that can never get to a game, dude, as much as like we all work in media, in sports, and Lord knows Jeff's the best hustler in town, like we generally could get access to a stadium that has 70,000 tickets, 60,000 tickets. Maybe it's not the super dope Monday night game against the Chiefs, but like, when the Panthers come to town, there's usually some tickets floating around. There are a lot of people that are football fans that probably never get access to a game. And it's one of the things I've really liked. In years past, they've done like a practice at FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium, and it's free to the public. Now, you got to register and get your ticket because they don't want it. They don't want, you know, that many. Like, they don't want to overextend it.
Yeah, but exactly.
I think it's important, man, that the NFL is a financial behemoth. They just print cash in everything they do. But you have to have events and availabilities where anybody can go and that the finances aren't the barrier to entry. And that's one of the reasons specifically with the draft, I really like it. If you got four kids and, you know, hell, what's going on in our city right now. People are losing their jobs right and left, right? Like, and going, taking your kids to an NFL game is just not a possibility. The draft is absolutely a possibility. Wherever you live, you can take the subway downtown, and it's free. And you walk around, and it's this festival of football. And I just think that's really cool to have here. It's cool wherever it goes, but I that to me is one differentiator with the draft that makes it so dope is that it's free. And I just think that's important to also point out to people.
Yeah, and it's just so different from everything else football related. Like everything else football related that you go to for the NFL, it has football with it. Right. There's no football with this. It's essentially a show on a stage with a party around it, right? Like that's essentially what it is, and it's become so big, and everyone loves it. My buddy lives in Green Bay, and he's kind of a draft nut like I am, and he went and he said it's the best sports event that he's had a chance to go to. He absolutely loved it. He said he wants to go every year. He was texting me about maybe coming down to D.C. in a couple of years for it, and I think it's going to be so cool here because the sights that go along with it, because I think that's one of the cool parts about the draft is, you know, they have a nice stage and all these things, and when they'd show the views out at Lambeau Field, and in the background you see iconic Lambeau Field out there in Green Bay and the crowds and everything. No city in the U.S. can do it like D.C. can do it with the visuals on the National Mall for the NFL draft.
Even, I didn't think the pictures were that cool that got released, the renderings, but even the not that cool pictures, like I put them on my Facebook page, like it's sick. Yeah, I mean, Goodell is going to have the backdrop of the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, which if you've never walked around down there at night, I used to live kind of on Capitol Hill, kind of like 8th Street, but we'd go to the bars on Pennsylvania Avenue. Shout out to Capitol Lounge. If you've never walked around over there at night, it's stunningly beautiful. Just the white, you know, neoclassical architecture, all the columns, it's all lit up at night, and that visual behind Goodell introducing, who's the first pick at 27? Yours? Some other quarterback we never heard of?
Yeah, Manning, like, who knows?
It'll be, I've said this about the stadium, and people can scoff at it all they want. Like, to me, part of getting a super dope stadium built, I don't know, 2.5 miles from the U.S. Capitol, is it makes me feel patriotic.
Yeah.
Like, great cities of the world have great stadiums, and the capital of the greatest country in the world should have a great stadium.
Well, and I was listening to the Junks this morning talking about an event that they won at the new RFK site, and one of the things that they were bringing up was the World Cup, which is coming here next year. I can't remember the exact time. It's coming here soon, and they're not playing in the nation's capital.
No.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like every other place, imagine going to England and not playing a game in London. Imagine going somewhere at big time and not playing in their capital city because the infrastructure's not there. The stadium sucks, right? Like, that's embarrassing that there's not an ability to play a World Cup game in Washington, D.C. And so now having that stadium built there in the nation's capital, I think is going to be so cool. I think it's going to give this city what it's needed for a long time in terms of being able to host world-class events here. I mean, it's eye-opening when Taylor Swift, and I know people are like, whatever, Taylor Swift, but she's skipping D.C. She shouldn't skip D.C. She should not. It's the nation's capital. So I think for you, like you're saying, it makes you feel patriotic. It also makes you just feel like your hometown. I know not all of us grew up in the district itself, but all of us claim D.C. Having something that we can now say is our own that's going to be that nice and it's going to draw big-time events, it makes you feel good and patriotic, but also makes you feel good about your hometown.
Landfill, you think Toby just found out about the World Cup thing? That was like 3 years ago.
No, I mean, I knew about
it. I'm just saying.
I knew about this. I've said it for years. Like, it's embarrassing that they couldn't have a World Cup here in D.C.
Yeah, there's a couple. The bulk of this is Dan Snyder's fault.
Absolutely it is.
Because even if the reality is just the way these giant events like to market themselves, like, they don't want to skip the D.C. market, but the stadium was so bad that they just didn't want to come, and that is directly attributable to the previous owner, right? Like, unfortunately, the reality is Taylor Swift probably comes even if the stadium's in Landover, if it was a dope new stadium. The problem, so people are aware, is a lot of kind of the more modern trucks and stuff to travel from place to place, the loading dock area is limited at FedEx, and it's really limited with getting stuff down onto the field. Like, dude, I have heard the Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, those giant primetime games that roll in with giant sets that they put up on the sidelines, hate coming to Northwest Stadium. So don't be shocked when more of those are on the road than not. And maybe there's something they can do to change it in the interim time they're going to be there. But it got me thinking, because I saw this, I've seen this lots of places, and I had the thought myself. I don't think the NFL draft is coming to town unless the people that were in the Oval Office yesterday firmly believe that RFK is going to happen. And a lot of people have kind of said, you know, this is a test balloon to see how D.C. will do hosting the Super Bowl. I'm not entirely sure that's a fair comparison, because one's going to be in really nice spring weather and one's going to be in the winter. But to me, if you're worried if D.C. can handle a Super Bowl, you ever been here for inauguration?
Yes.
Like, we got this, dude. Don't worry.
We hold big events all the time.
Right. But it did make me think, which event do you look forward to more in the DMV? Because let's be clear, the draft, a Super Bowl, any of these major events, the amount of people that come to town, that spills far beyond Eastern and Western Avenue and the Potomac River. Like, that's the entire area being inundated with people. So it's going to be interesting. What event do you look forward to or want more? We know the draft is coming. Roger Goodell says there's a dramatically increased chance the Super Bowl is coming if you get this stadium done. What do you want more, Super Bowl or draft? Now, some of these people that come for the draft, they might just decide to move here. They should call Leahy, and to move their stuff, call Metropolitan Moving and Storage, the official, unofficial moving and storage company of 106.7, the Fan. Metropolitan Moving and Storage has moved almost everybody here at the station, man. A bunch of the guys from the Junks. I think Grant twice, Danny. Everybody uses Metropolitan and Moving and Storage, and it's because they're recognized as an industry leader and the preferred moving company for the best real estate agents, D.C.'s prominent move management companies, and residential and commercial clients looking for the best service and results. Here's what they can do, man. They can move your house. They can move your office. They can help you store your stuff if you have to stage your home. They can pack your boxes. They can build custom crates for anything you got. Chandeliers, if you got a bunch of fancy art like Toby, they can build custom crates. They'll give you a moving consultant up front to give you a free on-site estimate and discuss time and logistics for your move. This was a huge one if you've ever actually done a lot of moves. They don't share truck space. No truck space sharing. So it's not going to be your stuff with a bunch of somebody else's stuff that gets mixed up and beat up and you're not sure who's on the hook. They don't operate like that, man. I've known Justin McCarty since we were in high school. He runs this company. He's a stand-up dude and he does a hell of a job. I've known McCarty for 25 years, man. Trust me on this one. Call Justin over at Metropolitan Moving and Storage, 301-279-0090. That's 301-279-0090. Tell him J.P. Finley told you to call. You can check him out online, too. DCMetropolitanMoving.com. That's DCMetropolitanMoving.com.
All right. You hear this song. Caps are going to score all night long. Like White Brian after movie night. It's going to be electric. Caps Canes tonight. And you know what that means. We did it all day yesterday. We're going to do it all day today, baby. Jeff. How are the fingers, bud? Fingers ready?
They ready.
Press the button. Caller number 9, right now, you win a pair of tickets to Caps Canes tonight. Game 1 of the second round of the 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs, Washington Capitals against the Carolina Hurricanes at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. A pair of tickets, correct? Two tickets to tonight's game.
No, to game 2.
Oh, tonight we're giving away game 2?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start that over. Caller number 9, right now you win a pair of tickets for game 2, Thursday night, for Caps Hurricanes 2025 Stanley Cup playoffs with the Washington Capitals, Thursday, May 8th. Would have helped if I read that part. Thursday, May 8th, against the Carolina Hurricanes at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com. Yesterday, we gave away game 1 tickets. Today, we're giving away game 2 tickets, Toby. Duh.
You what, JP. There's no Nats game on Thursday.
Uh-oh!
Might have to pull up a Cap 1.
Is Toby on line 9? Not allowed to use the hotline, Toby.
Sorry about that.
All right. Winner, caller number 9, you're going to get the Caps tickets. Maybe you could take Toby. He doesn't have a Nats game to go to. Somehow he keeps
choosing to go to Nats games over Caps games. I'll never understand that at this point in time. I can't wait for tonight. I can't wait for Thursday. They're all going to be awesome. Toby, the biggest news yesterday was about the NFL draft.
Mm-hmm.
Some say the NFL draft is a precursor to see how DC will handle the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you this, folks. DC's going to handle it just fine. these inaugurations are probably pretty damn similar to the Super Bowl, frankly. What do you prefer, though? Which event are you more excited for, the draft or the Super Bowl? And I ask this because the Super Bowl, having covered a lot of these, generally regular people aren't going.
Yeah.
It's like a very corporate, high, you know, one percenter type event. And then there are fans of the teams that get access to tickets through a lottery system for season ticket holders. But generally, way more people from the DMV are going to go to the draft than are the Super Bowl. So which event do you think is cooler?
NFL draft. I think part of it, too, is we haven't seen the new stadium built, so maybe it could change once you see the actual stadium and the spectacle. But if you gave me a choice of going to the Super Bowl or watching a Commanders playoff game in that stadium, give me the Commanders playoff game any day, right? Like, I think, you know, if the Commanders are playing in that Super Bowl there, I think it's a little bit different. But for me, it's the NFL draft because the sights that you get are just going to be so cool, and it's so unique. There's only really a couple of events ever held in the National Mall, one of them being the inauguration, right? But being able to have an NFL draft there, a sporting
just quickly,
event.
Quickly, there's a lot of events. On
I mean,
ball.
There are, but like of that size, right?
Okay.
Right? Like events like that, right? So I think having those sites where you have those views, the monuments in view of just everything, because to me it's so cool with the renderings that, you know, the team sent out that you tweeted out. Like you have, when you're looking at the stage, you're looking at the Capitol Dome in the background. When Roger Goodell and the draft picks are on the stage, they're looking out to the Washington Monument. Like, it's just, that's so unique, so cool, versus going to a stadium to watch a game where, like you said, it's kind of elitist. It part of the reason I hate how the Super Bowls turned out to be is it's very dormant compared to a regular environment for football, just because of how difficult it is to get in for the regular fan. That's not going to be the case for the draft, so I think it's going to be rowdy. I think it's going to be fun. And I think you're going to start seeing this fan base come back, and especially for a draft in D.C. where they can kind of show out a little bit, I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
But when you get to go, it's pretty dope.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting question. I think for me, it's just quite different because I approach it through like a work mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because of the availability of the draft, it's going to be a lot more like families that live here are going to go versus the Super Bowl is going to be this entire separate thing. But what is cool surrounding the Super Bowl that people here will get to go to is there's a ton of parties and concerts and all sorts of stuff where like you'll get access to events that you normally wouldn't because they all come to the Super Bowl host city. So there's more to it. No, there's no wrong opinion on this thing. There is a right opinion, though, to giving away tickets. And right now, caller number 9 is my guy Bryant in Silver Spring. Bryant, you have won a pair of tickets to Game 2, Caps Canes. How fired up are you, man?
Oh, yeah, I'm fired up, man. Can't wait. Game 1 today.
Have you been to any of these games so far?
No playoff games, just regular season.
All right, who are you going to bring?
My son.
Oh, that's awesome. How old is he?
11.
Oh, dude, that is so cool, man. What's the jersey situation? What are you going to rock?
Ovi.
You got Ovi? What about the boy?
Awesome. We both got Ovi.
You can't go wrong with Ovi.
Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, Brian, I'm really glad you won the tickets, man. Congratulations. I'll see you on Thursday at Cap 1.
Congrats, man.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I love that. We're giving away Caps Game 2 tickets all day on the 45, the last segment of the hour. Make sure you're there. Jeff knows how to use his fingers. We're giving these tickets away. Are Grant and Danny doing that also? All damn day on the fan, we're giving away Game 2 tickets. Nobody go anywhere.